We're in the middle of a sermon series called The Power of Generosity, and we're examining the significance of being a generous and faithful steward of all the resources God has provided to us. The scripture we'll study today comes from the book of Haggai. Haggai is one of the Bible's lesser-known prophets, and his book is a short one. It's only two chapters long. But the prophet had something important to say to the people of his day and also to us. Now, he brings a word about putting God first, which is done by being generous with our time, our money, our talents, and our energy. Haggai wanted his people to focus on God's work, to focus on rebuilding the temple after they had returned from their exile in Babylon. So let's listen now to our scripture text. I'll start with the end of verse 15 in chapter 1, and then read through verse 9 of chapter 2. So hear these words of scripture. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you, do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever stood in front of a vending machine, inserted your money, pushed the appropriate button, and then nothing happened? It's so frustrating when that happens. And unfortunately, it happens because vending machines are sometimes out of order. They don't always work right. Now, in a similar way, the prophet Haggai was sent to deliver a message from God to the Jewish people, telling them that they were out of order. To fully appreciate this situation, though, we must go back in time and review the events that preceded this scripture. Decades earlier, in 597 BC, the Babylonian army had overrun Jerusalem. They deported a large group of Jews to Babylon, and then they destroyed the temple, the one that King Solomon had built. This was a total disaster for the Jewish people. They lost their possessions, their jobs, their homes, and they remained in exile until 538 BC. A year earlier, in 539, the Persians conquered the Babylonians, and then the Persians gave the Jews permission to return to Jerusalem. The ones who came back to their homeland were heartbroken at what they found. The city walls were down, rubble lay where their homes once stood, and the temple was gone. But under the urging of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, the Jews began rebuilding the temple in 536. The people, though, lost interest in this work after several years of construction. They became preoccupied with their own lives, and then they put aside their rebuilding efforts. The temple that they had erected up to this point paled in comparison to the former temple. This new temple wasn't much more than a meeting place. And when compared to the former temple, the difference was like that of a trailer sitting next to a palace. Ezra chapter 4 provides some details as to what happened. And apparently the Jews had succumbed to the influence of the people around them, who convinced them that they were just wasting their time rebuilding the temple. And so they eventually stopped this work and began focusing on themselves. They put their time, money, and energy into what the scripture described as their paneled houses. In other words, they were remodeling their homes with some new amenities. Think of HGTV for Old Testament times. And any of you who've done any remodeling in your homes know that it isn't cheap. Well, the Jews were spending their money faster than they could make it. If you go back to chapter 1 of Haggai, verse 6, it says, "You that earn wages to put them in a bag with holes." And on top of that, they felt the financial stress of having planted large crops, but only producing a little harvest. Haggai wanted his people to get back on the right path by focusing first on the work of God. And that meant reinvesting themselves in the rebuilding of the temple. Haggai said in verse 3, "Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing?" What they had built up to this point didn't look like much, but God had faith in his people and promised that more would come. As verse 9 says, "The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give prosperity." God was promising that the temple would become its finest in every dimension. You know, we're living in a time when it may feel as if the church isn't living up to its finest. In some ways, today's church pales in comparison to the pre-COVID church. The church doesn't look like its former self because lots of things are absent. We're missing many of our in-person programs and activities. We're missing sending people on mission trips. We're missing sending our youth on retreats and to camps. Being church is hard right now, and it may feel as if the church isn't being all that it can be. In some respects, being church can even feel one-dimensional, really, since so much of what we're doing is virtual. And yet, even in the midst of this pandemic, we should strive to be multidimensional, which we can do by focusing our efforts on three different dimensions of our faith. Think of these dimensions in terms of breadth, height, and depth. And when we give attention to all three, we grow in faith and generosity and become better stewards of all that God has given to us. Now, I'd like to say a few words about each of these dimensions, and I'll begin first with breadth. Churches in general have concentrated, I think, their efforts on this part. We've tried to make our churches more inclusive of a wide range of people, and we've done that by adding different styles of worship services, by putting coffee and donuts in the gathering place when we meet in person, by preaching lots of love your neighbor sermons, by reaching out to our neighborhoods and offering a helping hand, and by creating small groups that engage a wide range of people. Churches have worked hard to become more diverse, but the focus on breadth in some cases has been at the expense of height and depth. Height for us represents our relationship with God. And we know this is important, and yet we can get so involved in our horizontal relationships that we fail to cultivate and nurture the vertical one. Let's remember that we've been created to be in relationship with the Lord. As Augustine put it, "Thou hast made us for thyself alone, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." And we also know that we can enjoy lots of different things in life without developing a deep connection with God. It's even possible to enjoy the culture and the fellowship of the church without developing this relationship. But then, are we really a church anymore? The author of Psalm 61 prayed, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you are my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy." Now, the rock that is higher than I in this scripture is a metaphor for God. The psalmist knew where he could find help and meaning for his life. And only by giving attention to this height dimension in his life could he find peace and security so that he could blossom into the person he was created to be. We blossom into the people we've been created to be, and specifically we grow in faithfulness and generosity by nurturing our relationship with God. And so if we want to be the best church we can be and the best Christians we can be, then we must always seek God's guidance for all areas of our lives. So are we seeking God's will in our relationships, our jobs, and our finances? If we're not, then something very important will be missing in our lives. And this leads me to the third dimension, depth. Depth represents discipleship over the long haul. Now, most of us can take one of Jesus' teachings and do it for a little while. Take, for example, his teaching about being peacemakers in the Sermon on the Mount. Being a peacemaker for a day isn't too hard. But being a peacemaker year after year is a completely different thing. And the same could be said with turning the other cheek. We can do that every once in a while, but making it a way of life requires great commitment. And the same is true for generosity. But being generous and charitable on a permanent basis requires a tremendous amount of energy and spiritual depth. The prophet Habakkuk offers a word on this. In Habakkuk 2:4, the prophet says, "The righteous live by their faith." And the Hebrew word used in this verse for faith is the word emunah. This word can also be translated as faithfulness. The same word is used in Psalm 33, verse 4, to describe God's work. Now, the Revised English Bible renders this Habakkuk verse as, "The righteous will live by being faithful." And that really is the main point about what depth means to us as followers of Jesus Christ. And thus, generosity is rooted in faithfulness. And for us to grow as faithful stewards, we need to give attention to this dimension of depth. But depth really isn't something our world values. There are all kinds of pressures outside of us that lure us away from this kind of life. And one of the biggest pressures is instant gratification. Now, we may recognize that we want to cultivate a deeper spiritual life and grow in our stewardship, but we may not want to put in the effort to get there. Eugene Peterson wrote about this, and he said, "One aspect of the world that I've been able to identify as harmful to Christians is the assumption that anything worthwhile can be acquired at once. We assume if something can be done at all, it can be done quickly and efficiently." And then he goes on to say, "There is a great market for religious experience in the world. There is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue, little inclination to sign up for a long apprenticeship in what earlier generations of Christians called holiness." Now, to help us think about what this means for the Christian life, Peterson takes a phrase from the philosopher Nietzsche to describe the Christian life as a long obedience in the same direction. The Apostle Paul had a similar thought in mind when he told the Galatians, and you can find this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "Let's not get tired of doing good, because in time we'll have a harvest if we don't give up." Life is hard right now. Being church is hard. But the way forward is found by living with a steady faithfulness to God, by relying on the Lord's strength, and by living with a long obedience to the ways of God. This is how we cultivate a deeper faith. And when we give attention to all three dimensions, breadth, height, and depth, we find ourselves more able to put God first, which then leads us to be more generous. Now, sometimes we aren't the best stewards of the resources we've been given. Sometimes we act like we're out of order by spending too much on ourselves or being stingy with what we have. Sometimes we're one-dimensional in the way we live. Haggai saw this in his people, and he knew they had put things out of order. And yet he knew they could do better. In fact, the Lord encouraged all of them to grow. God assured them in chapter 1 of Haggai, verse 13, telling them, "I am with you." So when we find ourselves off track, let's remember that God is still with us and is always helping us to get in alignment with His will. See, when we put God first, we'll experience the blessing that comes with being within the will of the Lord, and we experience life in its fullest. It is a multidimensional life that leads to greater faithfulness and greater generosity. And that is a powerful thing. I invite you to bow your heads now and join me in a time of prayer. Let's pray together. Oh God, we pray that you would help each of us rediscover life in its fullest by living a multidimensional faith, a faith that puts you first. We know deep down that what really matters is for us to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love and serve others in the name of Christ. We pray that we will do this with greater faithfulness and with greater generosity. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.